here in Acts chapter 2 today. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read the text in its entirety to get a feel for what's going on this morning. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, and all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there are dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked and said, "They are filled with new wine." Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading of your word to our hearts this morning as we learn about your word. Let it meet us where we are. Let it restore. Let it confront. Let it correct. Let it do what only your word can. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. There are two opposite and equal extremes one can fall into when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Now, if you are a Christian, if you've gone to church your whole life, you've heard the word Holy Spirit. In King James style, you know the word as Holy Ghost. You know, that's old King James English for you. If you're not a Christian, this word might be weird to you. But for those of us who follow Jesus, we believe in one God. We are monotheists. There is one God who exists eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that there is one God. This one God exists eternally in three persons, which means God the Father is completely and holy God. That God the Son, Jesus Christ, is holy and completely God. And God the Holy Spirit is completely and fully God. The math equation could be stated like this: 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 1. That's Bible math for you. That's the Trinity, okay? Now, in the church, in the American church, we have a lot of denominations, right? On this roll, there's plenty of churches. Methodists, Presbyterians, Charismatics, Pentecostals. There are lots of different churches in America, right? In the world, there's a bunch of them. And they have differences. And one of the differences is how they treat the Holy Spirit. On one extreme, we have our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me say this before I move on. These other denominations, okay, we are one large family. The Charismatics and the Methodists, the Presbyterians, they are not our enemies, okay? We're not fighting them. We believe in kingdom work side by side. And though we may have differences, what unites us is so much greater than what divides us. Okay? If we believe in the cross, in the reality of the gospel, we are brothers and we can break bread. We are sisters and we can serve together. Fair? So we're starting. Now, some of the tribe Christianity, they view the Holy Spirit as central to the entire enterprise. Some of our brothers and sisters believe that the filling of the Holy Spirit, it is the most important thing about the Christian life. And they would say that the filling of the Holy Spirit is expressed in the speaking of tongues. There are some traditions, some denominations, who say, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. That's a very extreme view. And it's too extreme. It is. On the other side of the coin, you have where I come from. the Reformed, the Baptists, okay? And they got all, I think it's Holy Spirit all day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But for us over here, there ain't no Holy Spirit for us. We're having a Holy Spirit famine in my family, okay? And a joke about the old Baptist crew is their Trinity was the Father, Son, and Holy Bible. Because that's how little they talk about the Holy Spirit. They're just afraid of it. They just don't talk about it. They ignore it. They dodge it. And many people think it's not even worth mentioning. But he's here in the Bible a lot. So these are two extremes. Either no Holy Spirit or Holy Spirit in this one way, or you're not part of the family. And those two extremes hurt a lot of people. This extreme over here, that's all emotion and all feeling. Honestly, a lot of bad doctrine. A lot of false teaching over there. Because it's all emotion. I don't got to read nothing. I just say what I feel, and that's good enough. But feelings are not the truth. The scriptures are. Fair? But these guys over here, who are all like truth and reason and collars and robes, they're missing the power that God bestows upon his people through the Holy Spirit. So we look to Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to learn what is the Spirit, and how does it work then, and how does it work now. So, we start here. Day of Pentecost arrives. So what happens is this. There are 120 people in the upper room. They all have followed Jesus. And they're waiting for the promise. Jesus told them, I want you to wait here, and the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And they're waiting. Which is one of the hardest things about being a Christian, isn't it? Waiting on God. They're waiting for the promise. They wait a couple weeks. And one day something happens. It says, they're all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind and filled the entire house they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them. So what's going on? They're sitting there, they're praying, and all of a sudden there's the noise of wind. Now, we're in Michigan, okay? I love Michigan. I know it's winter's coming. Some of you guys don't like winter, and you're weird people for living here. That's what you think. You know where you live. But here's the deal. I love the winter. You know why? I tell my kids all the time. You know what winter does? It keeps our spiders and our snakes small. And that's a good trade for me. I grew up in Texas. We don't have winter. We have tarantulas, okay, down there, okay? You don't want those up here. We got snakes that will eat your children. You don't want those up here. The winter keeps those away from us, okay? I like the winter. But up here in Michigan, but don't worry about that. I'd rather, yeah, okay, so up here in Michigan, we don't have forest fires. We don't have hurricanes. It's awesome. Living here, we just have 4 months of, you know, you outside, you die. And I'll trade that for no forest fires or wind. But while in Texas, we had a lot of wind. We had tornadoes, powerful ones. And one time we had a tornado when I was in Texas, and it was powerful. When the tornado came through, I was a young kid. I wanted to see, but it was dark. So I couldn't see, but I could hear it, you know. Like a freight train wrecking our old house. And my grandma was scared. My mom was scared. We lived in a two-bedroom farmhouse. And I wanted to see something. I went to the door. We had a screen door. Because I guess, I don't know if this is true, but my grandma believed that there's a tornado, you open the windows. You ever heard of that? She did that. I don't know if that's good or bad, but she did that. And the door was open. There was a screen. And the portrait was on. I looked out the door. And there's wind ripping. And all I saw in the light, in the darkness, I saw a hen house go by. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome. But they're sitting in this room, and there's just wind, the noise of, and then this fire comes into the room, and the fire breaks up, and the fire falls on every individual person, men and women in the room. Now, is it fire? Is there kindling falling from the roof? No. Fire in the Bible is always a picture of the presence of God. If you're a Jewish person, remember Moses, he says he saw the bush that was burning but not consumed, right? That language means Moses saw this bush. And back in the day, in the days of Moses, in the days of the Bible, no electricity, no fluorescent lights, right? If you wanted light in the darkness, you lit fire. That's how you had light in the darkness. So someone sees light, how you describe it? It's like a fire. But what it really is the glory of God. It's the visible manifestation of God Almighty, and they see. So God descends and falls on every person. That's crazy. And the people who that fire falls on, they start talking. And they start speaking languages they do not know. And not only do they speak languages they do not know, listen to this, they speak them with a good accent. I am Mexican. I can speak poor Spanish. If I go to Texas or Mexico, Ecuador, and I speak Spanish, people laugh. Do you know why? I speak Spanish like a white man. I grew up in Michigan. I have a Midwestern accent. When I speak Spanish, it's like Joe Bob Fred speaking Spanish. It sounds hilarious, okay? My accent is bad. You ever call like a computer hotline, get someone from another country and they're speaking English but has a thick accent, and you're like, what was that? Listen, learning a language is tough, and our accents make it even harder to speak. When I was in India, I had to learn the language Telugu. I spent 2 hours a day in language study. It was the worst part of being a missionary. Worse than the food, worse than the stinking heat, worse than the 30-hour plane ride was learning to speak Telugu, okay? And these guys just started talking it with no training. And all these people, like everyone in Pentecost, what Pentecost is basically you have, it's the festival of first fruits, which means for the Jewish people, if they were grape growers, they would bring their biggest, baddest grapes to the temple to give to God, say, thank you for the harvest. If you grew cucumbers, you bring your biggest, baddest cucumbers to the temple and go, God, thank you for the cucumbers. Whatever you harvested, you brought the best of that. So there are pilgrims from all over Rome coming to Jerusalem. And they hear this wind, they hear people talking, they come to the street, and there's 100 people just preaching of the mighty works of God, and they're hearing it in their own languages, and they're freaked out. That's when these people are Galileans. They're rednecks, and they're speaking our language in our own accents. And it freaked them out, as well it should. That's what happened. But what can we learn from this event? This is the birth of the church. This is the first day. This is the day the church starts. And that church starting led to this church starting. No joke. There's a straight line from Jerusalem all the way to Flint. You follow it down from like Jesus to Paul going to Rome, from like the English Baptists to the Puritans to like the General Baptists to who's next? The independent fundamentalist, and then you got, I get saved in that, and we start this one. Like, there's a whole line from Christ all the way to here. This is our church's birthday, the Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. So what can we learn about this first? From this text, we learn that God fills his church with supernatural power. You can't get around it. There are some who want to say that God is just, listen, the truth of God is awesome. The wisdom of God is awesome. If we actually lived by God's truth, we'd save ourselves from a lot of pain. Straight up. God's wisdom, if we lived by it, oh my goodness, it would change so much of our society. But here's the reality. Even obeying the God of heaven, look, you know who obeyed all of God's commands? Jesus. And what happened to him? He was betrayed, he was abandoned, he was crucified. That happens. It rains on the just and the unjust. We see here the rushing wind, the falling of fire, the giving of this gift of speaking new languages is given. Now, before I go on, I know some of you are wondering, well, what about this happened at the day of Pentecost, and some Christians call themselves Pentecostals, meaning like Pentecost is their like Super Bowl for them, basically. Is the moment in Acts 2 similar? Is this gift similar to the gift of tongues spoken by many of our brethren around America and the world? No. This Acts 2 event is different than the gift of tongues we see practiced in modern churches. If you want to know about that gift, you got to go to 1 Corinthians. So it's in the Bible, it's just not here. You understand? This is not that. But that is in the Bible later on. Everyone cool? Not trying to blow anyone's head off, I'm just telling you what's true. Okay. So, Acts 2, God fills his church with supernatural power. Here's the reality, guys. We're not selling snake oil over here. God has equipped his church with his power to do his work. Our prayers can move the mountains. He's not just talking trash. God has given power to his people, and if we, trusting in him, walking with him, we can move the stinking world. Not because we're awesome, because he's so kind. He's given to his people, to us, supernatural reserves of power. What does that look like? I want to be careful, but I also want to be true. There's a story. It was like middle of the night, I get a phone call. I'm still awake. It's like 1 in the morning, I'm still awake, and I answer the phone. And it's one of my spiritual daughters. Someone who I just been a father figure to her, and very close to the family, did her wedding, was there when her kids were born, that whole thing. And she was a young wife, and they had a young baby, and her young husband had died. He fell down dead. And she's calling me in a panic because he is on the ground, there's EMT in the stinking room, and it's a horror show. And she's on the phone, he's dead, he's gone. I jump in my car, I'm blazing to the hospital to be there with this family in this moment of horror. And I'm driving, I'm praying, and I'm begging God, give this young man life. There's a young baby needs a father. This young woman needs her husband. I'm just asking God. I'm begging God. And prayer is a funny thing because it's not always emotional. Sometimes you pray, you don't feel nothing, right? But in this car ride, it was like, it was thick in the car. And the weeping came easy. I get to the hospital. I run inside, ask for the room. They send me to the room. I walk in. And this guy's just sitting up and eating a sandwich. It kind of freaked me out. I was like, and I'm like, what happened? And she's still crying. The EMTs are all talking. I'm like, what happened? And they're like, dude, it was a crazy thing. We did the thing in the floor. Couldn't get it back. Put him in the hospital or in the ambulance. We're coming to the hospital. We're doing the panels. We're doing the nose. We're doing the breathing in the mouth. And nothing's going. Like 8 minutes had passed, which is if you know hospital, I guess that's bad, right? Because the brain and oxygen and stuff. And all of a sudden, he just, bam, woke up, and he came back. And he's alive to this day. Now listen, I ain't saying I can call that audible every day and it happens. But I have seen God move. I have seen God undo what has been done. And it's crazy to see. One time we were out camping, me and junior high boys, and my brother and one of his buddies were out running, just being crazy. And one of the kids got dehydrated. And we're on South Manitou Island. So there's no, you can't leave. You're on an island surrounded by water. And this kid got dehydrated. And he was vomiting, couldn't keep water down. And he was fading out. In the middle of the night, he's shaking, he's fevered. We got to put water in him, throw it up. And it was like, we need a lifeguard. We can't get a lifeguard. It's the middle of the night on the island. And we're scared. I'm scared. I'm like, this kid's going to die out here. It was a scary time. We go down the trail. There's another group camping. There's some older men there. And we know them. They're Christians. They love Jesus. And we say, listen, we don't know what to do. Like, I'm a young guy. I don't know what to do. These two old men come, and they come into the tent. And all the junior highs were there can tell you what happened. They were all there. These two old men go in the tent. They lay their hands on this young man and start praying, asking God to just stop the shivering and stop the cold and stop the fever and stop the vomiting and let him rest. And we watched his body stop shaking. We watched the fever leave. We watched him rest. And the next day he was fine. And it freaked me out. To be fair, I mean, I was like, wow, that was, see it live in person was crazy. But listen, God gives his church supernatural power.
We can't just believe that there's only words and no power behind them. The God of heaven is still moving. He's not dead. He's not asleep. He's still active in the world. We can ask him for help. We can ask him for, you know what we can do? We can blow our lives up and still ask him for help. Straight up. My kids, last year, I come home. It never happened before. I come in, and Angie's waiting for me. And it's arms crossed, Angie, not like arms open, Angie. And I was like, is this me? She's like, the kids have something to tell you. I'm like, oh, it's not me. It's them. Okay, good. So I come in the house, and the kids are on the couch waiting for me. And they're just scared. I'm like, they're going to tell me, kids? And they're looking down. They're in trouble. I mean, they did something wrong. I don't know what they did something wrong. And they're like, we broke something. I'm like, what'd you break? And they get up at this point. They broke a window in the house. They were playing around. Mom told them to stop. They didn't stop. They broke one of the windows of the house. And even though they were messing around, even though they were doing what they're not supposed to do, even though they broke one of the windows out of our house when winter was starting, I'm like, what are we going to do about this? They're like, can you fix it? And you know what I did? I didn't fix it. No. It's still broken. But there's a seal of box tape to it. It's fine. Come to my house. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But the Lord, you ask him, I broke this window. I messed it up. It's my own fault. And we can still ask for his help. And he's so kind. He listens. And sometimes he helps. And that's so awesome. God gives his church supernatural power. Not only that, God fills his church with supernatural power. But we also see in this text that God fills his church to speak the gospel. When the fire falls, they speak out God's mighty works. And if you read the book of Acts, if you read the book of Acts, every single time the Holy Spirit falls on people, every single time, people start talking about Jesus. They are filled for a purpose. The filling, God's filling of his people is not for our benefit or our glory or our showboating. God fills his people to serve others. The gifts he gives you and the gifts he gives us not for our benefit, but for the benefit of others. We're not blessed to just heap the blessings upon ourselves. We are blessed to be a blessing in the same way we are empowered to proclaim Jesus to others. To tell other people that there is hope in this seemingly hopeless world. And I know it feels, listen, we all feel it. Like, in the city of Flint right now, you know what's going on? Here's some numbers for you. Overdoses through the roof in the city of Flint. Domestic violence through the roof in the city of Flint. It's tripled during lockdown. I met a young lady who said when the lockdown happened and she didn't go to work anymore, her abusive boyfriend started beating her more because no one was going to see her and knew he was safe. That's one story. How many more? You know who else is on the rise out here in the city? Hopelessness is spreading so much. Three high-profile pastors have taken their own life during this time. There was a Zoom call with some pastors, 10 pastors. And one of them admitted, I've been having suicidal thoughts. And before the call ended, three more pastors admitted they had them too. Four of 10 pastors admitted, I thought of taking my own life. I thought about it. It's hard out there right now. There is a hopelessness that's just like a cloud hanging on everybody, making us mean, making us scared. And if we know Christ, we know Christ, that fire that fell has fallen on you. Everyone who calls in the name of Jesus, when they call upon his name and are saved, the Holy Spirit makes his home in our hearts. In our hearts. He doesn't live in this basement or in some steeple. He lives in the hearts of those who love him. He lives in these places. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He has gifted you for a purpose, to tell other people that there is hope. That There's more. There's more to this life than chasing dollars. There's more to this life than living and dying. There's more than the disappointments. That there's a God who cares, who's given us work to do. We have a purpose. We have a job. It's crazy how little you could do that could make a difference in someone's life. I was shopping at GFS. And someone recognized me because I was a substitute teacher at Holly High School. He's like, weren't you a sub at Holly? I'm like, yeah, I was a sub at Holly. Because before, when I first came to Flint and planted this church, I had to work jobs to pay my bills and stuff. So I was a substitute teacher for a while. Holly was wages in Flint, by the way. Flint was really tough. But she knew me. She talked about the class. And I asked how she was doing. We talked a little bit. Kind of encourage her in her life, you know. That night, I got a phone call. I got a text from a random number, which is always scary. Like, Pastor Ernesto? I was like, maybe. But she's like, you don't know me. I got your number from this person. You had GFS today, and you met someone. I'm like, oh, man, what's going on? They told me a story how this young lady, it was the mother of the young lady. And she's like, you know, my daughter has left the faith, angry at the church, been treated poorly by Christians. There's a lot of those out there. Church refugees, hurt by the people that call themselves Christians, and they walk away because we are bought. She's like, she said, this young girl said she would never, ever go to church ever again. She's like, she called me today and told me that a pastor, I didn't tell her I was a pastor. I was like undercover, but she knew. People know. If you're a Christian, they know. They don't have to say nothing. She's like, you were so kind to her and treated her with such dignity and respect. It made her second guess and think, maybe I need to go to church again. Maybe I do need the Lord, and I do miss him. A little bit of kindness planted a seed that did all that work. You were filled to speak the gospel. You're filled to serve others. You are filled with a gift to use your life for something greater than yourself. And as you, filled with God's Spirit, love people and serve people and forgive people, there's going to be two different responses to you. Some will have wonder in their hearts, and other, they'll mock you for it. Listen what happens at the end. And verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, what does this mean? What is going on here? And they stayed and listened to the sermon. But others, mocking, said, they're filled with new wine. That's not the Holy Spirit. They're drunk. He got drunk and learned Spanish. Like, that's a crazy thing to say out loud. He got drunk and learned to speak Greek. What? Like, it's crazy. I mean, I haven't drunk in a long time, but I didn't know it did that. Those you have two different responses. If you love Christ and represent Christ in your community, some are going to see you and go, what happened? What do you have that I do not? Where do you find hope in this hopeless world? And there's going to be questions and there's going to be wonder. Ask, what does that mean? But others might look at you and say, look at this guy. Look at this girl. Jesus freak, Bible thumper, Mrs. High Road. All the way, I've heard the words. I've been called all kinds of things. The world's going to either mock it or wonder about it. My question to you is very simple. My question to you this day. First, how has God gifted you? How has he supernaturally gifted you? God gives gifts to his people. How has he gifted you? Is it with your hands or your mind or your voice, or is it music or is it art? How has God gifted you? To serve others. To use your gifts to bless other people. How has he supernaturally empowered you to serve other people? Who are you serving? Who are you loving? Who are you witnessing to about the gospel? Is there anyone you're praying for that knows Jesus? Anybody, one person. The one person in your life that you're praying for, Lord, this person I know and love, they don't know you, and I long for them to meet you, because if they met you, you would change everything for them. Who are you praying for?
lastly, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I left God a long time ago. Or maybe you're like, you know, I've never been with God because weird stuff. Are you going to be a mocker or open your heart to God? Open your heart to God is as simple as saying, you know what, I don't know what this is, but I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen. When I first heard about Jesus, I didn't bow my knee right then. I was in church like 2 years in the back of the church sitting there listening like, is this true at all? 2 years reading the Bible trying to figure out, is this real? Is your heart open to God or close to Him? Are you a mocker or do you have wonder in your heart and you long to know the peace that many of us speak about? I hope you're not a mocker. I hope you don't keep God at arm's length. He's so good. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. And I'm going to pray for some of us today. With every eye closed and every head bowed, no looking around, maybe you're here and you say to yourself, you know what? I don't know God, but part of me wants to. I don't know God, but part of me wants to. And if that's you, just with your head bowed, eyes closed, just put your hand up so I can pray for you this week. I see you. I see you. I see you. Go put your hands down. Maybe you're here and you're saying, you know, I know the Lord, but I ain't serving Him for nothing right now. My life is about me, and there's no room for anybody else. And I want my life to count for His glory. If you're here and you say, Lord, I want you to use me to reach people, just raise your hand. I'll have to pray for you as well. Oh, I see those hands. I see those hands. Go ahead, put them down. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, for those in this room who know you and love you, who have a heart to serve you, who want their life to count for something in this world, more than our money and more than our job, we want our life to influence other lives. Help your children know how you've called them. Give them direction. Let them know where to go and how to go and how to serve. Let their open heart be an invitation to you, Lord, to use them mightily. For those in this room, Father, who don't know you, but they want to know you, begin speaking their name. Begin calling them to yourself. As you say in Hosea, wrap them with cords of love and bind them to yourself. It's our prayer this day, Father. Receive it. In Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. I want you to stay seated for a moment. Is Brennan running? Okay. We have opened the Word of God. We have sung songs. Part of being a church means being a family. Being a family means it's more than Sundays. Many of you I see, I know you. I know your story and your lives, and I care for you. When Simplicity Church started, it started with six families. They moved down to five because one left. So it was five families. I always say five families. And we become like family. We serve together. When there's trouble, we call one another. Our kids know one another. And there's a great joy in this. You can come in, Jarrett. To Today, we want to give honor to one of the first families of our church, Joseph and Katerina Loving. They moved here to Flint with me and Angie. And they sacrificed so much. A lot of us have things in our life. A lot of us have responsibilities, right? We go on vacation, we go to the beach, we skip Sundays, don't we? Kids can come sit in the front if you guys. Come sit in the front right here. That'd be great. Okay. Kids, come sit on the front. Have a seat, everybody. Or you sit facing this direction. So sit on the ground looking at this. There you go. Yeah. Good job, everybody. I don't miss Sundays. Because I'm a pastor. I got to be here. Neither Joe and Kat, though. Every week they were here, and I didn't see them. Why? Because they were with the kids every Sunday, loving them. And their faithfulness, they became leaders in our church, and we called them. Joseph was a deacon in our church, and whenever there was trouble, and a lot of us have been hurt, sometimes I'd be hurt, and Joe would be the one to go and take care of you. We live in a city called Flint, which means we have to say a lot of gospel goodbyes. That's okay. I don't like them, but it's okay. In Flint, there's not a lot of work here in the city. There's just not. And so Joe's warehouse is going to close down, and he got a chance at a great promotion, a great job in Wisconsin. Stupid Wisconsin. But it's good for his family. But on this day of this last Sunday, we wanted to thank them for their sacrifices, for their love for our children. My kids know more of the word because they invested in my children. And there's a gratitude in my heart for that. So we have gifts. Joe and Kat, you have to come stand right here. Booyah. Arbleski, pull that camera back towards you. This thing right here. Lloyd, can you grab me that picture frame behind you and bring it up? A couple things we have. And this is not enough, okay? It's just not enough. We got some gift cards for food and for Apple products. If you said you want an Apple TV. I hope you like that too, Miss Kat. But there's food too. And we got some gifts here from people in the church as well. I have a letter here. In the Bible, when people would leave, like when Paul and Barnabas left Antioch, they gave a letter of recommendation to them. And so we have a letter of recommendation to wherever you guys go, wherever you go to, with a letter telling them that you're not punks. This is what it says. To whom may concern, it is with joy and sadness that we at Flint City Church recommend Joseph and Katerina Lovett to your church. Joy because they are profitable for the ministry and true followers of Christ. Sadness because they have left their fellowship for their work there in Wisconsin. Joseph served as a deacon for 5 years at Flint City Church, serving with faithfulness and humility. Joseph and Kat will be a blessing to the community there. We make this recommendation wholeheartedly and with no reservations. So when you find a home, you say, listen, my church back home gives me their full support. We also have picture frames. I thought someone had it. Okay. This is a collage of us in the church, and a lot of us signed it. You can hang this on your new house and remember that we love you, even though we're far away. This is for you guys. You can use this for them as well. In the Bible, when people left, we have some from the kids too. So kids, you can give them your card. This is a really big gift for the kid from the kids. They all signed it, so you can have that. Okay, you guys can have a seat right here. In the Bible, often when people would go to new work, the church they were leading would lay hands on them and ask God's protection and blessing. So, first I'll ask the deacons of the church to
come forward. And please, we've got to wear masks because we're going to be close. So let us wear masks as we come together. So the deacons of the church, if you come, Greg, Christy, you guys are almost deacons, so get up here. Next, if family was to come and lay hands on them, family, come and lay hands on these people you love. You don't have to, but if you want to, you're more than welcome. As you guys come here so there's more room to pray. Okay, little ones, I'm going to have you scoot that way. Go ahead, scoot this way. Okay. If anyone here, if you want to, if you don't want to come in, there's a lot of people close together, if you don't want to come, you can stand where you are, put your hand out. If you love Joe and Kat and you want to lay hands on two, you may come as well at this time as well. If you want to come. If you want to stand where you are, raise a hand, you can. If you want to come near, you can come near, however you feel comfortable. I'm going to ask. Hey, Seuss, I need this mic, brother. The wireless. I'm going to ask Angie to pray. Just pray for Mrs. Kat. Being, you know what it's like to be a woman in a new place. Well, I'm just saying, moving to new land is tough. Moving to a new place, you know, your friends are far away, your sisters are far away. Angie did that here in Flint. So Angie, I want you to pray for Mrs. Kat, and then I'm going to ask Mr. John to pray for Mr. Joe, and then I'll end it all. So Angie, so let's go ahead and let's bow our heads together.
Father God, we pray that you would go with Joe and Kat and little Ellie now, that you would just smooth the path before them. I pray for Kat as she sets up a home in a new city, that you would just grace their home with peace, that you would lead her to godly friendships that will encourage her, that you would help them to find people that they can trust as babysitters right away so that they can get some time together. And I just pray, God, that you would bless the transition in every way, that your hand would be upon them, and that you would be their companion each step of the way. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've got to have. It's tough. We love them. We know that part of our job is that we send people to go other places, and we just pray that they'll find a good home. And they will be able to pour into that church like they have this one. So thankful for them, Lord, and just bless them as they go, keep them safe. And we always are here for them if they need us. In your name we pray.
Father in heaven, thank you so much. We pray for Kat and Joe. Be with Miss Kat as Joe is out there setting up shop, help their home just so fast here in Flint. Let them find the perfect little house there in Wisconsin. Lord, help them find a church that's not crazy, that's full of you and some good people. Let their stress level be manageable next season. Let them not take it out on one another, but instead come together, Lord, in unity during this next month, the next few months of transition. We love them, we're grateful for them, Lord, and into your hands we commend them to your service. In Christ's name we ask these things.